You will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Here ends the reading.
All right, I'd like to invite the children to come up and the parents to come up with the sponsors. You take kind of the back side, and the children, you kind of come up and take the front side here, okay? All of you come on up. Good. Keep coming. That's good. Wonderful. Wonderful. Parents, if they're, you want to come up with them, you can sit in the front row with them on your lap. This is Bennett Matthew, and he's going to be baptized this morning. You see him right here? Yeah, this is his mom and his dad, and those are his sponsors. Okay, so we're about to watch God do something wonderful in Bennett's life, and we want you to be able to see that too. So if I get in your way, I'm sorry, okay, but I'll do my best to let you see everything, okay? It is good for you to be here, and certainly with the love and support of family and extended family. Do whatever you have to do. It's okay. You can stand there. You can walk with him. You can do whatever you need. We'll love you anyway. It's like I said, it's good for you to be here, certainly with the love and the attention and the care and the intimate prayer and longing that parents, grandparents on all sides have for you and for your children. And the same heart I pray that you'll have for your children and by testimony and witness have for your children. God has said that the children belong in his kingdom. Jesus, in this particular text, which I picked and wasn't always thinking about the baptism, spoke how much he longs for the little ones to be included, right up to the very littlest one. He said, "To them belongs the kingdom of God." And he scolded his disciples and he said, "You leave them alone. You let those kids come on up here." And so that became part of the testimony. And so by the command of God, who said, "Go ye therefore, baptizing, teaching, and discipling, and witnessing to the people that are around us," I ask you as mom and dad, have you come freely and longing to be a part of this wonderful event and understand that the greatest thing that you can do for Bennett is to be a faithful husband and wife, a pleasant mom and dad who is loved by God and who loves God with all their heart, who recognizes their own sinfulness and need for a Savior and treasures the mercy and the grace of God. So I ask you as parents, as you bring Bennett, Bennett, correct. I keep mixing the two up. My bad. As you bring Bennett today, I pray that your heart is right. And so I ask you in front of your friends and family, if it's your heart's desire that God bless your marriage and hold you tightly and both of you accountable, not only to your vows of marriage of husband and wife, but to the relationship now of mom and dad. If that's your heart's desire to be God's people for him in this world at this time, say yes with the help of God. And as sponsors, you can never believe for a child, no matter how much you love them, any more than you can make their marriage work. But like in a wedding, you are the stand-up couples. You are the best men and maids of honor, and there are different things like that. Your job is to hold them accountable to the promises they made. Your job is to love Bennett enough to not forget about him, even when he gets older, and to take the time to call him and talk to him, to make sure mom and dad have placed the Word of God in his hands, to give a testimony and a witness of your love for mom and dad, but also for him as you stood this day and watched God work in this precious child's life. And it's your job, as much as you're able to, as close or as far away as you are, to do all that you can to make sure that he understands all that was done for him this day, and to nurture that faith so it grows and becomes strong, and his witness and his life demonstrate that to people around him. And so I ask you, if that's your heart's desire, as sponsors chosen and loved by mom and dad, selected carefully with great tenderness, love, and respect, if that's your heart desire both for the two of them and certainly for Bennett, say yes with the help of God. And family, extended family, the Church of God, I ask you too, as baptism is never done in a vacuum, it is done before God. It is trusting in the promises of God, where he says, I will accomplish these things. Where he says, even little infants in their mother's arms can believe. Where God reveals that it is a work of God saving faith, not a work of man. It is work beyond understanding. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. And so I ask you, as family, extended family, is it your heart's desire to be supportive of mom and dad and Bennett as much as you can? And be here to be available and to do all things, including praying for them and all the little ones that we have in our midst. If that's your heart desire before God, say yes with the help of God. Good. Are you ready? I get to hold him. Is that all right with you? I'll let you hold him if you want to. May I hold you, Bennett? Bennett? Hi. Bennett Matthew Whelan. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And they were worried you might not be quiet. You are just about perfect up here. Yes. Oh, I said that too soon. Would you uncover that for me? And I set upon you the cross and the oil of the Lord to remind you that the presence of the Holy Spirit works in you. And I make that same cross upon your heart, that God who has begun this good work in you will bring it to its full completion. And I present you before the altar of God to remind you how much you have been loved, even before you understand it all, yes. And I ask that God will be with you and bless you all your life. Yes. He said, okay.
That's what I thought I heard.
He's a little charismatic. I saw both arms go up, though. He even laughed. You heard it laugh? That's good. Pray with us. Father, for the gift of this mother and father, for the gift of this precious child, for the gift of these sponsors, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for a work that you do in the hearts of children and grandchildren, how you touch the hearts of grandparents and great-grandparents, longing to see your life produced in their children and grandchildren. I pray that all the things done here today would accomplish all of your purposes and will, Lord, that each one of us would understand the privilege we have of being a part of these moments. Just honor us, Lord, by your work in our lives, and bless each one of these individuals, and especially hold tightly to Bennett, Lord. I pray this all in your name. Amen. You guys get to sit down. Now, don't go away. Don't go away. We still got to talk. Yeah. I got a sermon today that's a little bit about baptism. Can I hold you? Want to come? No? Okay. That's a little boy nose. You can always tell little boy noses, they're always scraped. We're always walking into something or falling on our noses. I have a sermon today that talks about this strange word called motives. Do you know what motive means? What's your motive? Motive. It's how most kids don't know. And so I'm going to try and teach you this word, but I'm going to teach it to you a little differently, okay? If you see somebody running along and they fall down and they scrape their knee really bad and they start to cry. And I said to you, why are they crying? What would you tell me? They fell and scraped their knee. Their motive or the reason they're crying is because they scraped their knee. Now, some motives you can see like that. Some motives you can't see. You are boys, aren't you? I love you both. Wait, don't shove him. What, are you heading for the... It's okay. That's okay. They'll be back around. Or not. What are your motives, boys? Anyway, I have a little candy I'm going to maybe give you later. And have you ever seen somebody do this? All right. All right, come on up here. You're a volunteer. Good. I'll put your candy right there. Okay, come here like this. All right. And I'll look at you, and that's going to be your candy, okay? Don't forget that. Oh, my goodness, look at that. Okay, help yourself. Now, in order to get it, why did I make you look over there? So I could do what? Yes, you win. All right. Yeah, you like that, huh? You waiting for more? No, I don't know about that. We're going to be talking about motives. And we're going to be talking about families. And maybe just a little bit about turkey. Okay, did you all have turkey this Thanksgiving? Good. Okay. So, I have a treat for you. You listen for the part of the sermon that talks about the motives behind what Jesus said and done. Okay? Here you go. And no tricks. You can get either a red one or a blue one, but they're the same, kind of. There you go. Grab one or the other. Grab one or the other. Yes, you get to take it back to your seat and ask your mommy. Oh, that's perfectly okay. Take one, a red one for your mom, because you did such a good job up here today. Good. Don't hit your head on the baptismal font. Red or blue? Or three or four. Oh, God bless you. And whose is this? Which one goes back with this one? Oh. Ah, I was going to say, I get it otherwise. So how do you like getting together with family? Might change a little bit depending upon your age and whether you're grandma or grandpa and some of those kinds of things. I was playing a game the other night. It was called What's Your Think? It's kind of a interesting game. And one of the questions that they ask, and you have to write it out on a sheet of paper, and then people have to try and guess whether or not it's your answer. One of the questions was this: what do you dislike most about family gatherings? So you're supposed to be writing that across your mind right now, so you can guess what people would guess. And they tell us family gatherings can be a bit stressful, especially when you've got, believe it or not, Democrats and Republicans in the family. Liberals and conservatives in the extended family. Hard to believe, right? I know. Deer hunters and hate deer hunters and no, and the ones who didn't get their deer. Yeah, all right. So, I heard that the Democrats actually sent out a pamphlet of how to get along with your conservative family members over Thanksgiving. I didn't order one. Because what do I care if I get along with them? Turkey's at my house. What are you going to do? So it is funny and it's not funny, right? I mean, it is and it isn't. It's sometimes really, really stressful because sometimes you get answers like, I hate the masks people wear. Oh, it's so nice to have you here. Are you leaving soon? You know, I hope you stay for at least another 4 minutes, right? And you put on that mask and you wear it the whole time, and now, which is a brand new experience for me, which is all the things people don't and can't eat. I'm sorry, is that an organic turkey? I said its right leg was. I don't know about its left one. You know, did you put gluten in your gravy? Not intentionally. You know, the questions are really fascinating. After a while, you can really get yourself boggled down with this interaction of family. And so I was listening to this, and I realized something. I go, there's a part of me that has learned a long time ago that Jesus is not a hippie. A lot of people in the world think Jesus is a hippie and kind of danced high on something or other and talked only about love. And if you got love, that's all that makes the world go round, and love and everything else. And I learned a long time ago that Jesus is about truth. Jesus is about salvation. Jesus is about integrity. Jesus is about removing masks. Jesus is about confronting in the right kind of way. But I sometimes get that mixed up. And so I wanted to address that a little this morning so that we get the right kind of heart. I remember situations where Jesus would talk to his disciples and go, "Oh, ye of little faith." And you could just hear him. He's like, how many times am I going to have to teach you this? How much am I going to have to put up with this with you guys? All right? And he was pretty blunt. He was like a coach who said, "You didn't do it right. Do it again." Okay? And he wasn't afraid to say things like that. I remember another situation, and I picked it up. I have this book on the annoying qualities of God. So I keep a book there, and it talks about his annoying qualities. And this is the one I was reading a while back. It goes, "God is annoying because he knows my personal life and doesn't hesitate to bring it up." Okay? And the reference then in the other page was an account of the woman at the well. And if you know the story of the woman at the well, she's Samaritan. Jesus is actually at the well in the middle of the day, and she can only go there because all the other wives and women in town do not like her. And so she comes to the well. Jesus recognizes her as a Samaritan and asks her for a drink. And she says, "Do you know who I am and what I am? And you're asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" And Jesus said, "Yes." And as she's offering him the drink, he looks at her and he says, starts talking to her. And he says, "Go get your husband." And she responds, "I have no husband." And Jesus responds, "You're right. You've had 5 husbands. And the one you have now doesn't belong to you at all." And she looked back at him with her mouth open and stunned because of the bluntness, straightforward honesty that he had just presented to her. And she said, "I perceive that you are a prophet." Now that story unfolds with very specific things taking place in it. The truth is, I always like that because it kind of reminds you, confront the people with the truth. And then you go, it's so hard to do with family, right? Have you spent a lot of time talking politics, or do you run in the other direction? Do you spend a lot of time talking about, you know, real feelings? How do you really feel this morning? Are you really being faithful to your wife, your husband? Is who you're presenting yourself to be here in church who you really are? Or is there another whole side of you that most of us don't get to see because you're away at college or high school or you're doing something else? Do you wear the masks that we're all capable of wearing? And so in the middle of this mixture of how do families interact and work with one another and deal with confrontation sometimes. Sometimes confrontation that can be really, really difficult. I began to put a totally different text together, and that's the one I wanted to share with you today that was read to you. And this passage comes out of this Gospel of Mark. And there's two qualities I want you to notice. The first experience, again, a familiar passage to you. The little children, the parents are bringing the little ones to Jesus. And Jesus is greeting them and laying hands upon them. But the disciples get upset, you know. It's kind of like adults-only events. Who said they could bring that kid? Can't they shut that kid up? Right? Of course, you never think that, right? That's why, you know, yeah, we do. Or you go, they must be terrible parents. You do that one. Because my kid never did that. Now that I'm a grandpa, my kids never did anything wrong. At the time, I couldn't. They drove me nuts like everybody else once in a while. But you understand. You get this strange little quality in you. And I go, Jesus takes his disciples and he rebukes them. Now, I like that. This is the closest example of family that Jesus had kind of 24/7 living with him. And he just calls them out. He says, you let those kids come. You have misunderstood. You got it all wrong. They belong here. And you let them come forward because I want to bless them. And I like that quality of Jesus. And I like it because it blessed the little kids. I like it because it's a testimony to us. And I like it because he didn't mince words. Now, do you guys think that it would be all right for maybe a few of them to come up here, maybe for a little while, and they could sit on my knee, and if they start to get out of hand, then we'll start yelling at them and all that kind of stuff. He didn't do that. You let them come. And unfortunately or fortunately with kids, they don't all sit still perfectly all the time. Of course, some of you are going to be dozing off in a minute. I'm watching you. All right? People always ask, do you see that? And I said, of course I do. I'm a teacher. I'm used to watching 30 kids or more at the same time. So all I do is walk up and we tickle your nose. And everybody will know. So just so you know that. Now you're all nervous. Is he telling me the truth? I like that. That's good. Tension. And then proximity tension. I saw you doze off. That's how you get proximity tension. And you understand, here's this moment where these people, these disciples, are having this intimate, knock it off. You let them come. All right? And Jesus stands there. Then right after this, this is the account I want you to notice. As Jesus started on his way and he pointed out, a man falls down to his knees and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he had called him good teacher. Jesus looks and says, why are you calling me good? All right? Because only God is good. And he's testing his testimony. He's checking him out. All right? And he goes on and says, no one is good except God. And he says, you know the commandments. Do not murder, commit adultery, steal, false testimony, defraud, honor your father and your mother. And the young man with that little arrogance that anyone is capable of, teacher, all these I have kept since I was a boy. What's your next emotion? You know, I'm a perfect father. And I'm a perfect uncle. And I'm a perfect brother. And a perfect son. And you're all laughing because any of you who know me at all know I'm not really like that at all. Here he is. All these I have kept since I was a boy. He must have been so sincere when he said that. Sincerely self-deluded. Now here's the text I want you to remember. And I want you to walk out of here remembering this line. Kids, this is motives. This tells you why Jesus is going to do and say what he's going to do and say. And it says these words then at this point. Jesus looked at him and had love for him. That's called his motive. Now you have to understand, the words that are going to come out of his mouth, you're going to be a little bit shocked by, but the motive is telling you the testimony of what his heart was and how critically important it was. He said, then one thing you lack, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And I've referred to this before in the congregation. I've said, how would you like that to be your assignment for the week? Go sell everything you have. I'll meet you back here next Sunday. And you go, what? Right? Certainly Jesus was kidding. No, he wasn't. This was not a joke to Jesus. This was a man going to hell on self-righteousness. This was a man that was going to be a lost sheep. This was a man like your brother, son, uncle, cousin, nephew, niece, who thinks they've got their act together and has no relationship with God at all and hasn't had a decent relationship with God for weeks, months, or years. And this is that moment where you're sitting there in the quiet of a halftime break or something else is going on, and you've got this split second or a moment, and the question is, what are you going to say and what are you going to do? And the key here is motive. When you talk to your sons, daughters, in-laws, outlaws, and everybody else that you call family, what are your motives? Do they embarrass you because they're not this way or that way? Are you really concerned about them? Or are you just trying to get them back in line so you look like the good parent or the good grandparent or whatever the case might be? Motive is absolutely critical, because sometimes tough words have to be said. This young man, it says, how it goes on, it says, come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. There is no indication he came to the Lord, but there is every indication that he knew the truth. And that was what he would have to be confronted with. And the Holy Spirit at least had the opportunity to work on this young man with the truth. You've got your attitude, your priorities all mixed up. And the reason I know the heart of God for him is because it stops and it says, Jesus loved him. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that when you come to a Sunday sermon and you've got family and extended family, you kind of wish the pastor would say something like, if you haven't been in church for a while, knock it off. Clean up your act and get back there. And if you're in college running around thinking nobody's watching you, guess what? God knows. And you want to know something else? Guess what? You'll be talking about it when you're a grandpa. You don't forget. It isn't like something you walk away from. The people whose hearts you break, the manipulations, the lies and deceptions, the things that you think are so critically important, your concepts of what fun is and what fun isn't, and your faithfulness or lack of faithfulness to your own promises and words. You see, that's the reality. But I really shouldn't talk to you like that, because you're guests and visitors, and you might have one of the relatives here who fits that scenario. And you understand? Some of you husbands stink the way you treat your wives. You know, you remember when you fell in love and you would do about anything to be nice to them? And I know it worked both ways, because that's why we chuckle about it when you see these young in love people. Just wait. And that cynicism, I go, let's stop it and let's rebuke that and ask the question. God loves you. If you need a rebuke, he will give it to you today. If you need a tender hug, he will give that to you today. You see, the miracle of the heart of Christ is that he meets people where they're at. When Jesus met this woman at the well, he was talking to a Samaritan woman. He took his reputation and put it on the line, and he stepped up into this situation, and he said, woman, give me some water, please. And she said, you're going to talk to me? Don't you know the kind of woman I am? I'm at the well at the middle of the day. Jesus said, yes. And he shares the gospel with her. Her life has changed. He meets her. He tells her the truth. But he meets her with a different expression of love. And so that's the challenge I want you to understand. It is the challenge of loving the in-laws, outlaws, sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters. It's that challenge of sincere love that is supposed to dictate and guide every bit of what comes out of your mouth. Every bit of how you talk to that son-in-law or daughter-in-law. Every bit of how you respond in a situation. You see, the challenge about what matters and what doesn't matter, God looks at you and says, do you understand? Some of these people may not be here next Thanksgiving. Do you understand how precious life is and how quickly it can be wiped out? We lost a junior this year. Hung around at school most of Saturday, went home, had an asthma attack so miserable, they took him to the hospital and he died there. They could not turn the asthma attack around. No one started the beginning of the school year anticipating a freshman dying just a few weeks before the semester is over, before Christmas, or anything else like that. But in reality, life is just that fragile. What's the saying? You're always one heartbeat away from eternity. When do you think you're going to repent if you've been drifting away? When do you think you're going to get back in line if you haven't been faithful to God? When are you going to whisper to Him that you're really committed to Him? Thank you, God, for working in my baptism. Thank you, God, for the faithfulness of your word. Thank you that you've made me a Christian. Thank you that you hold me day by day. Help me to deal with my attitude, my behaviors in my life and the way I treat people. You see, that's the challenge of this moment. The motive of Jesus is love, and it isn't mushy love. It isn't like, well, let everybody do their own thing because it really don't matter anyway. And we're not supposed to judge your thing or my thing. If she wants to sleep around with five different guys and have five different... No, he tells her the truth, but his motive is love. What am I going to do with a man so hung up on himself and so self-righteous he doesn't even know he needs a Savior? Jesus said, I'm going to tell him the truth. Just one little thing you have to do then. Go sell everything you have. Are you and I possibly that person that needs to be confronted like that because we hang on so tightly to our stuff? You see, the miracle, as it points out here toward the end, this man's face fell and Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for rich Americans to enter the kingdom of God. Oh, what translations do you guys got? Oh, I'm sorry, it's Lutherans. No, rich Christians. There it is. Right? Rich. Here's how you tell rich. Toilet paper. You got it? Ever wonder why they have to have advertisements for the stuff? Doesn't everybody use it? Here's the truth. Most places in the world don't have access to it. Jesus, are you talking to us? He goes, I go, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his word, but Jesus said, children, how hard. Notice the loving words here. This is a very loving, my child. Okay? Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And his disciples were even more stunned, shocked, amazed, and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. How does a baby get saved? Certainly not through me. He is saved by the power of the Holy Spirit who begins to work in this child's tender life, where all the promises of baptism are his, and the Holy Spirit works to bring that about in every area of his life and testimony. You never get to brag about, it's my faith, it's my this or my that. You always, always, always have to go back to stand in amazement going, who then can possibly be saved? And I think they knew why they asked that, because they were being touched by all the things that had happened to them in just the last few hours. Be still. These children belong to the kingdom. The rich man walks away and the disciples are going, oh my goodness, Jesus, he's leaving. And Jesus said, well, you tell people the truth, sometime they leave. And yet in the middle of it, we have the testimony of the love of God. And so my encouragement, number one, receive both the critiquing, the warning, the tenderness of God, motivated by the love of God for you. He has one purpose. I want to grow you up into the men and women you need to become. I want to strengthen you in your relationships. I have more to bless your marriage with than either one of you can possibly conceive, no matter how long you've been married. I have more to teach you about life and people and circumstances. I want to rescue everyone in your family, and your extended family. If you want to know my heart, it's to save every single one of them. And my Holy Spirit does that 24/7. You just happen to notice it every once in a while. And so in the miracle, as we finally finish off this thought, he comes up and he says, with man this is impossible, but not with God. My hope and your hope, as we deal with family and friends and loved ones and children and extended family and people at work and all the other places, the purpose of God's heart, love these people so much that you'll tell them the truth with such tender seasoning that you'll allow that to take root in their heart. Pray with me if you would. Lord, encourage and rebuke us today. We always need a little bit of both. And come, open our eyes. Your word is so faithful, and you demonstrate that so lovingly, meeting the woman at the well, rebuking the disciples with a parental kind of parent-to-child conversation, and yet in the middle of this, demonstrating a love for this young, rich man. Lord, destroy those things in our lives that hinder, and put in our hearts the kind of righteousness and truth that you want, Lord. I pray your blessing on us in every way. In your name, amen. As the offering is received, we pray God's mercy and grace over you.